Welcome to The Stories We Don't Tell, a podcast about storytelling. We are your hosts, Stefan
and Paul. On today's show, we're going to be having a discussion about themes, but first, a story from our very own Stefan.
Give it up for Stefan!
There was a moment when I knew I was in too deep. As the water raised above my head and my feet sort of flailed beneath me, I tried to open my eyes, but the chlorine stings, and so I can only see brief glimpses and the refracted rays of light. I can feel the water pushing against my eardrums. And I tried to remember the few words that I'd been told about how to keep myself up. Throwing my arms out, I sort of push down with my hands, but I feel the water go through my fingers, and it gives me just enough buoyancy to pop up in a breath, briefly, a gasp, and then I'm back down below the water. I think to call out, to call for help, to alert someone, anyone, to my predicament, but I don't. Honestly, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I fight, I flounder, I taste water as I gasp for air. I'm 12 and I'm drowning. But what flashes before my eyes are not the highlights of my short life. Instead, it's a story that my father told me. He was around my age at a summer camp, and he was pushed into the lake by a fellow camper. And he floundered. He was a farm boy. Had never really been around water, so never really learned what to do. He found himself sinking, nothing beneath him, and he believed, truly, in that moment, that all was lost. In a couple of months, I turned 35, which means that I am currently the exact age that my dad was when he had me. At the time, in his life, my sister was already 4. We lived with my mom in a 2-story post-war apartment in Scarborough, and all that we lacked was the white picket fence. I, currently, live in a 1-bedroom apartment. It's above a Starbucks, and my couch faces our stove. The deathly rattle of the industrial trash compactor wakes us every Thursday and shakes our house. We have high ceilings, but in many, many ways, it feels like the walls are closing in. And so, in this time, I find myself wondering, how did he do it? How did he manage? I slip back beneath the water. God. How embarrassing. I mean, what 12-year-old dies in a swimming pool? How do you die surrounded by your friends? How do you die in 6 feet of water? I could draw attention to myself. I could shout. I could scream. I could call for help, but then everyone would know. I would have to admit what I'd spent my life hiding. Years of hanging by the side of the pool, never wading too far into a lake, always being sure-footed so no one would find out what I couldn't do. That's what I should have been thinking before I ventured out after the floating beach ball that had drifted into the deep end of the hotel pool. My teammates were all around me, laughing, playing, swimming. I tried to spin my legs like I'd told you were supposed to, but nothing happens. I push down against the water, but only receive just a fraction of the lift. It was just enough to allow me to get my mouth above water and gasp again. And then I sink back underneath the water. And at the time, I remember how my father's story ended. A fellow camper saw him struggling and dove in to save him. To this day, he still thinks that camper saved his life. And I wonder if someone might come save me. I wonder if I'd want that attention. I wonder how a man who shared this story with me would not teach his kid how to swim. I am drowning, and it's not my fault. Now, I'm not a parent, but it's pretty safe to say that swimming lessons for children are a must. In fact, I checked online, and they're supposed to start when you're about 4. And the goal of that is to prevent this very moment. It's to prevent you from dying surrounded by your baseball teammates in a cement-laden hotel pool in Buffalo. I mean, who fucking dies in Buffalo? I'm sorry, I'm too young to swear, and my mouth is filling up with water. But when I was 4, my parents began the process of separating. I have little memory of this time, a hushed conversation in a study, a flicker of fear, and the beginning of our lives in travel. And now, again, I wonder, how did he do it? At that point, my brother had joined us, 3 children under the age of 10, no white picket fence, and no family within 500 miles. The waves of loss and grief are lapping up against him and trying to pull him under. And the man, my father, who never learned how to swim, suddenly, desperately needed to stay afloat. How did he do it? It's a question that I can only answer from my own childish perspective. He did not fight it. He did not lash out. He found a foundation where he could, and he pushed upwards. He devoted himself to us. He was at every recital, every baseball game, every art class. He mowed lawns of our neighbors to make extra money. He cooked exclusively out of the More for Less cookbook. He found a way. Each new hardship was met with an unexpected blessing. As life threatened to wash him away, instead he chose to trust it, to join it, and to be swept forward. A year ago, I got married. And if I'm going to have a family, we're going to have to start soon. But in many ways, quite honestly, it feels impossible. Each step has another one that starts before it. And I have this fear that when we begin, the overwhelming fear that we'll do it all the wrong ways, and that suddenly we'll find ourselves over our heads. I mean, already the water is lapping at our knees and rising quickly. And the call is to sort of step forward into the unknown, to walk deeper and deeper and trust that when the current gets too strong and when the time comes, we'll figure out how to stay afloat. In the hotel pool, I'm still flailing, but I'm losing energy. I need a new plan. The sun splits through the breaking water, and muffled laughter of those playing around me mocks me in their joy. I open my eyes and try to learn from my father. I stop lashing out. I straighten my body and allow myself to sink to the bottom. My feet make contact with the concrete. I find my foundation. It's rough, textured, and yet somehow safe. I allow myself to settle and then I push upwards. My whole head breaks the water and I take a welcome gasp of air, and then I allow myself to sink all the way back down to the bottom, waiting for the foundation again. I feel the rough surface once more. I push up, I breathe, I sink, I stand. I push, I breathe, and after a few of these controlled bobs, I'm able to begin to make a plan. I sink, I stand, I push, I breathe. I sink, I stand, I push, I breathe. I spot the beach ball floating just a few feet away from me. I sink, I stand, I angle myself, I push, I breathe. I reach out and I find purchase. I grab hold of and float towards the edge. I hold myself there and look for my father. And as I catch my breath, I know two things for certain. The first is that I will find him and that he will help. And the second is that when I have a kid, I'm going to teach them how to fucking swim. Thank you.
I'm really happy that we're using your story for this first episode back.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I'm honored to be used as the first story back.
It's great, and I would like to go on record, and I've told you this before, that I've heard a lot of your stories. This is one of my favorite one of yours, for sure.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, part of it is because I wrote this story because we didn't have enough stories.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, this wasn't something I had been sort of mulling over for a long time. It wasn't something that I had sort of been bringing back and forth to different workshops and things like that. It was something that was very much inspired by the theme, which was Stay Afloat for this particular episode. And I have this, memory in my brain that is about... you're almost drowning in a public pool. Mm-hmm. Almost drowning might honestly be an overstatement. I don't know how long I was dealing with the problem as it's described, but I think because of the fear and shock, it's like cemented in my brain, right? It's a formative memory for me because I distinctly remember like so much. Like my brain is not very photogenic, right. Not photogenic, but like I don't do very well being able to picture scenes, but I can still very clearly picture the pool as it was at that time. Like my brain took a snapshot of it very clearly for some reason. And so it's funny that sort of like that, maybe the combination of the need to get something out and then the way that the work had to sort of come out to make it happen. Mm. And I will say that, like, obviously the second part of it, the story, which is about sort of comparing, contrasting my life at 35 with my father at 35, is obviously something that's in my mind all the time, so I shouldn't say that I'm not, like, it clearly touched on a thing that I was most presently working through, which is like, what the hell am I doing here? But it was interesting that it was entirely theme-based.
Well, it is funny how, like, I think there's a lot of different reasons, but sometimes you can do really good work under constraints. Like,
totally.
So that's, you're like, oh, I have to write a story and I've got these sort of desperate things, but like, how do they fit together? We talked about this in a past episode or a future one. I don't know.
But whichever one it was the first.
Is that where... you have, when you kind of like have these puzzle pieces, and then when you get enough of them, or at least like something in your brain does kind of go, oh, I see how these fit together now. It can happen. It can happen very fast, but then it's always interesting also to me, like you said, is that there's these things, these ideas or things that you're just thinking about that are in your brain, wherever, and it might be just life stuff or something like that. And it's always fun and interesting to me, again, as a writer or a storyteller, when you just find the right avenue for those like things to come out and like fit into a narrative that you're trying to say and it or trying to talk about, and it just can flow and it can work and everything. So, but themes, we're talking about themes.
Yeah, well, on that last point before you move on to themes, is because there was a thing that reminded me of, which was that the thing that saves me in the story is the story of my dad almost drowning, right? Like, that is what provides me with the compare and contrast on both sides. Like, if I didn't have that story that he had told me, and he actually still remembers the name of the person who saved him, though I should say, and I should say this clearly, I think, is that the story is not actually meant to be a criticism of my parents not teaching me how to swim. In the same way that you, in a past or future first episode, talk about how, you didn't sort of come back at the end to sort of put a finer point on it,
my hope was to also indicate the ways in which my parents were trying to stay afloat during the time that I was not learning how to swim.
Right.
And therefore, I cannot judge them for my own lack of swimming ability at the time.
Okay, duly noted and recorded on, like, forever now.
There you go. Now if I drown, it's not their fault. as a 35-year-old man. But on themes, again, this was a thing that we talked about a little bit in the past, a few other episodes about it. But it is interesting that with the guest producing that we've been trying out and other things, that we have come back a little bit more on asking ourselves the question of how much do we want to lean in or lean out to of trying to get people to sort of follow some type of theme. And our general position has always been that we don't, that we just want people to tell the story they want to tell. And then sometimes it works out. You know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But I do think that this story does have a useful element to it, which was that it gave me something to write about. Like, if we did not have that theme, if this theme was something else entirely, I don't think I wrote the story at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm probably looking at something else or trying to figure something else out. And the theme actually did really help me with that opportunity.
Well, I would say it's always nice when, like, a theme, because, you know, we name the events, but we don't sort of say, oh, it's interesting to me. And I think this is a product of just, like, there are some, there's lots of storytelling shows. There's some that are like ours that are just like the theme is kind of what the show is.
Yeah.
But then there's other ones that are like all dating stories or all breakup stories or all whatever kind of stories. Because we do get people that come and will say, I really want to tell a story. What's the theme?
Yeah.
And we're always like, don't worry about it. So it's interesting to me that I feel like this is also a writing thing or a storytelling thing, that some people like to write to a theme.
Yeah.
And some people like to be like, I need something to focus on, and I need something to, like, I don't know what story to tell. I've got a lot of stories. Which one will fit the theme? And then there's, like, other people that I think, and we get more of these people where they're like, I have a story I want to tell. Yeah. So we kind of let go of trying to fit them into a theme per show. And then the only other thing I'll say about this, in terms of us, is that, and in terms of how the show kind of shakes out usually, is that something that, you usually handle this, but something that we take, I think, good care, or try to take good care of, is that there's all the individual stories, but they kind of do, like, each show is its own kind of narrative arc, like, overall, of how the stories fit in together. So it's a little bit, it's nice when everything aligns and you're going to tell that story when it has aligned, about that one event of ours that aligned. But, anyways, that's my sort of feeling on it, is that it's like great when it happens, but, like, the story is what's important.
Yeah. And I think the reason why we get more of that sort of second half is because of our focus on new storytellers. Like, I think the people who want to look for themes more often are seasoned writers, right? They're used to writing. They like writing. They know what they're trying to do. And so you give them a theme, they can come up with something, or they can push a story into a theme. Whereas I think new storytellers very often have, like, the way they've thought about this story their entire life. And so when they want to tell a story, they want to tell it in the way they've always thought about it, not in a way that matches up a theme. And so I think that, like, when you see those ones that are more theme-based, more often than not, you're getting people who are further along in their sort of journey, feel more confident in sort of trying to shoehorn things into places that might not be exactly where it is, and just don't necessarily have the story they must tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, to finish your thought, we'll actually go for it.
Because, no, I was going to say that all I was going to say was that this particular theme that your story was, you said it was stay afloat.
Stay afloat, yeah.
So, speaking of water.
Yes, exactly. Oh, lovely segue.
I just wanted to do that segue.
Great segue, Paul. Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is that I think the goal of a theme done well is that you end up with a show that is better than the sum of its parts, right? That, like, and that's not to insult the show at any time that we have a thing that doesn't work or doesn't match up. The show can be as amazing as it is, again, because you say we do often have a sort of an emotional journey that we've built in. And often we also have the stories themselves are amazing. So if our event is only as good as all of the stories, we're still doing a great, great event. But there are these very rare moments where the theme happens to really work. And there was an event that I still remember back in, who knows, like 2017,
pre-COVID,
2017, 2018 maybe. And it was, the theme was Out of the Rain. And it was in this venue that had these huge windows. It was on like the fifth or sixth floor.
And wasn't there even like a step, like we were standing on top? It was really weird.
Yeah, yeah, for some reason there was a little bit of a stage.
But it was a small space, yeah. So it was like weird that you were standing up on this stage.
Everything about it was an odd space, but it was raining. Mm. And then there were like three or four stories that referenced either water or rain or dryness. And it just gave the entire evening a feeling that was really conducive, I think, to the whole experience. Mm. And that was something where I was like, man, this, when you can land a theme like that, and part of it also is like, how often do you manage to make a thing about rain and then have it raining, right? Like that's a bit of not too many themes can be brought out by the weather itself, especially in a thing you're doing at night, so you can't even do any sun versions. But I do think that there was something about that, you know, that really brought the whole day and gave a different vibe to it. And so you do find these moments where it lands, but I think maybe for me, part of the magic is not trying that hard. Like part of the magic is making something, coming up with a name for a show and just seeing how it lands.
Yeah.
And just sort of seeing how it affects the experience and not try to be like, I want six stories, you know, about the time that you were mad at your parents or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you for sharing your story, and we'll see you on our next
first episode. Yeah, and I should say actually quickly that the example of you mad your parents, again, not because I'm unhappy about the swimming.
We want to thank the storytellers for sharing these intimate pieces of their lives, the event hosts who welcome us into their homes, and the audiences who come to our shows and listen to this podcast. The podcast is produced by Yasmin Mansouri. Music was composed by Arlene Pakulin. And for more information on the podcast, the book, event, or to join our mailing list, please visit storieswedonttell.org.
This episode of Stories Not Told podcast brought to you by Swimming Lessons. Swimming lessons, they are really important.